Well, good evening. Glad to see you back with us this evening, and hope you had a beautiful day. We had a, Tina and I had a good day with our daughter Ashley and her husband Jeff, and good visit. I hated to see them go, but that's the way things go, and we treasure the time that we get to have with them as the way you do with family members that you don't get to see very often. This evening, I want to talk for a few moments about something I consider very important. Since it is the case that you and I are trying to get to heaven, we need to be mindful of the kind of obstacles that can stand in our way. There are many things that we often think about that we think might stand in our way, and there might be some things that we're going to discuss this evening that you hadn't really thought about. And so I want to spend a few minutes this evening talking about blockades to spiritual blessings. The ultimate spiritual blessing, of course, is heaven. And there are things that that can stand between you and me in heaven. And obviously, sin is, if we just wanted to encapsulate it and summarize it at the beginning, sin is what is going to stand between us and the spiritual blessings for which we long. But it's God's will that we as his children be blessed spiritually. And in part, I think sometimes physically. I know the physical is secondary to the spiritual, but the children of Israel were taught to be obedient to the Lord that they might live long on the land, or might live long in the land. So the land inheritance being part of their blessing, if they were to be obedient, they could have stayed in the land, and there wouldn't be a Muslim mosque in the center of Jerusalem right now had they obeyed the word and had they contended for the faith as they should. He wants Christians to be blessed spiritually, and that's why he provided for us his perfect Lamb of God. However, we often see that for one reason or another, Christians are not blessed. And when this happens, many people blame God rather than themselves. Now, there have been things that have happened to me in my life that not great calamities, but you know, as a teenager or as a young man, sometimes the plan that we have for things doesn't go the way we want. And to us, it's a calamity. It's a real tragedy. I had an opportunity one time slip through my hands for no fault of my own to play with a band on the Grand Ole Opry. And that would have been the highlight of my career. But it just didn't providentially work out. But the reason that people want to blame somebody other than themselves is they don't want to accept that dreaded R word, that dreaded word called responsibility. And so they don't feel as strong in the faith as they should, so they're going to blame somebody else. I don't know my Bible like I should because the teachers that I had in Bible school when I was a kid 30 years ago didn't know what they were talking about. They always want to blame somebody else. The blessings in our lives, or the lack of blessings in our lives, may reveal to us sin in our lives. It may reveal some deficiency in some aspect or another in our life. And in view of that, I want to consider this evening some of the blockades to spiritual blessings. And hopefully, perhaps as we do, we might recognize some of these things in our own lives and be desirous to remove them so that we might be blessed as God wants us to be blessed spiritually, and so that we can be the blessing to others that God would have us to be. And the first thing I want to discuss is selfishness. Now, sometimes we think of selfishness, you know, it's always somebody else that's selfish. I'm never selfish, right? Selfishness is one of those things that sometimes we can be selfish and we don't realize we're being selfish. And that's why Paul told us to examine ourselves frequently so that we can be sure that we are in the faith as we should be. And I'm reminded, first of all, of that rich man in Luke chapter 12 who had all those things, and he was afraid his barns wouldn't be big enough to hold them. And so he tore down his barns and built bigger barns. And he left everything to somebody else because he died. But he didn't think about, you know, what am I going to do with all this stuff I have? Maybe I should give it to somebody who's less fortunate than me. Maybe I should help that young couple over the ridge that's just starting out and are on our living day by day. No, he didn't think about that. Maybe I should give it to some members of the church and they can distribute these things to those who might be in need. No, I didn't think of that. I'm going to keep it for myself. I'm an empire. And individuals who are selfish show a lack of love for those around them. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth the love of God? So you have what it takes to help somebody, and it's a real, it's a clear and present need. And we say, nah, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to shut up my bowels of compassion, the Bible says. I'm going to shut up my tender mercies towards this person. We have to recall there's such a thing in Scripture known as the law of sowing and reaping. And in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Well, that should be enough right there to get our attention. Do you want to be guilty of mocking God? Of making God out to be a fool? Of making God out to be something less than he is? When I see something like that and it says, be not deceived, he's saying, look out, be aware. You're in danger of mocking the God of heaven. It would be tantamount to blasphemy. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So when he says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked, and then he goes on to tell us about the law of sowing and reaping, he is saying, be sure your sins will find you out. Be sure that whatever you plant, that's what you're going to grow. If you plant seeds of discord, you're going to grow division. If you plant seeds of doubt, you're going to grow faithlessness. If you plant seeds of deceit, you're going to grow falsehood. If you plant anything other than the pure seed, the Word of God, then you're going to get something less than heaven, and the only alternative is hell. Secondly, prayerlessness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. As our text read a moment ago, all spiritual blessings come from God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Since all spiritual blessings come from God, if we never take the time to speak to Him and petition Him to bless our efforts, how can we logically expect to receive the blessings that we desire? How can we thus be a blessing that God would have us to be? We have a loving Father who desires to hear us, and He desires to bless us. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you." He didn't say, "Just sit in your house quietly and wait for the spiritual blessings to fall around you without anything on your part to do." No, He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And those words in the Greek literally mean be asking, be seeking, and be knocking. Now, I've heard people say, if you've asked the Lord for it one time, that's enough. You don't need to keep browbeating the Lord. You're not browbeating the Lord. If you need food, what did Jesus say to pray for? What kind of bread did He say to pray for? Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So if you prayed that one time and you expected it to be answered one time, you're going to get fed one day. Think about it. We're not browbeating our Lord. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to petition Him for our needs. Why? We get right down to it. According to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which says, "Pray without ceasing." Prayerless people then are being disobedient to God, aren't they? If we don't pray, we're being disobedient. And because of our failure to ask and to seek and to knock, we won't receive the blessings that He has promised to us. James 4:2 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." You have not because you ask not. Jeremiah indicated that prayerless people would not prosper. In Jeremiah 10:21, and this quote is from the English Standard Version, it says, "For the shepherds are stupid and do not inquire of Jehovah, therefore they have not prospered, and all their flock is scattered." Now, Jeremiah's words there are very plain. He says if a person doesn't pray to God, he's stupid. That's about as plain as it can get. Not my words, Jeremiah the prophet's words. Many people set blockades of prayerlessness between themselves and spiritual blessings. And I've had people come to me, "John, I don't know what I should pray for. I know I should pray. I need to pray for something, but I don't know how to ask." Ask. Talk to God. Christ will turn it into something that is intelligible. People say, "Well, John, I try to say my prayers at night and I fall asleep." God bless you. You think the Lord doesn't get it? You think our gracious God doesn't understand? I wish more people could pray until they fell asleep. That's wonderful. And if you continue all night in prayer, you're in good company because our Lord did it. If we're not being blessed as God would have us to be, maybe we need to take a look at our prayer life. Maybe we need to take a look. Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. He gives that beautiful model prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," He began. That's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? To pray to the Father and to tell Him that His name is hallowed in your view, in your situation in life. Thirdly, worldliness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. You know, we can admit it or not, but worldliness reveals the inward life of the man. How accustomed or how attuned and how in touch we are with the sins of the world reveals a lot about us. In John, 1 John 2:15, John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." How much attachment do we hold to this world? How we lament when things aren't the way they used to be. And I do that sometimes, but you know, the world is changing. The Bible never changes. Heaven is still in our future. Yes, we lament sometimes about things. We wish things could stay the same as they were. A lot of things we wish could stay the same as they were. A lot of things I'm glad they changed about. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for cars. I'm thankful for this church. 300 years ago, this church wasn't here, I don't think. Norm, was it? Okay. But worldliness can really set us back. John is saying that the love of the Father is not in the person who loves the world more than he loves the Father. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. We either got to put our affections on the world, or we put our affections on God. No middle road. Worldliness is a blockade that just does not please God. If we look in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So right now I'm asking myself, John, are you spiritually minded? Because if I'm not, then I'm carnally minded. And carnally minded, to be carnally minded, Romans 8:6, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sometimes when life gets a little sideways on us, maybe we're not being as spiritual as we once were. In verse 8, "So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We cannot possibly be worldly minded and still please God and receive from him the spiritual blessings of this life that are afforded to us. But more importantly, the spiritual blessings in the next life. We have wonderful spiritual blessings in this life. We're a part of a beautiful family right here in Cambridge. We get to come together 3 times a week and sing praise to the God of heaven together, and to pray together, and to study from the holy and inspired word together. We get to commune with our Lord together. And we make associations that will last us throughout this life and into eternity. That's a blessing. And if you don't see it as a blessing, I urge you to, again, examine yourself and see if you're really focusing on the spiritual or if you're leaning towards the carnal. Worldliness is what separates us from God. James 4 and verse 4, the, The half-brother of our Lord wrote, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's scary language. I want to examine myself. John, am I being an enemy of God? Is my friendship with the world thus that I could not go anywhere that I go and take God with me? Would I be ashamed to be found anywhere when the Lord returns? Would I be ashamed to be found in some of the places I go? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So thus, worldliness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. Unfruitfulness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. A tree that doesn't bear any fruit is unfruitful. And we're told that we must be fruitful in John 15, beginning in verse 4 and verse 7. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you." We have to abide in Christ, just like a branch has to stay attached to the vine. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And we have to stay attached to the true vine if we want to bear fruit for Christ. If we want to receive the spiritual blessings that Christ has promised unto us. And since, brethren, as our brother read for us a moment ago, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, so we cannot expect to be blessed unless we are still attached to the vine and are therefore fruitful. That is, doing the will of God, teaching the will of God, setting a proper example, having a proper prayer life, worshiping regularly with the saints. All these things amount to fruitfulness or unfruitfulness. We cannot be expected to bear fruit if we're severed from the true vine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, unfruitfulness results in the loss of reward. Let's look at this text, 1 Corinthians 3, 14 and 15. "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." The fruit that he worked on, the fruit that he tried to bear, will be lost. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." In other words, the fruit that you are trying to work on, it may not come to fruition. Say you're studying with someone, and boy, they're almost ready to submit to the Lord in baptism, but at the last minute they change their mind. They are going to go through the fire, and in a sense, you're going to go through the fire as well, because you're suffering loss. Here is someone that you almost clutched out of the grips of hell, and now they've changed their mind. You're going to suffer loss for that. You might get singed in the fires, but you won't be consumed. You'll be saved, yet so as by fire. You can't help it. If you're teaching someone properly and you're setting the proper example, you can't make a person obey the gospel. You can't make a person that obeys the gospel to stay faithful. All you can do is keep teaching, keep reminding them, keep in contact with them. That doesn't mean you are unfruitful. How long did Noah preach? Somebody tell me. 100 years. How many people did he save? 7 besides himself. A gospel preacher in the church today, if he's permitted to preach for 100 years and only baptized 8 people, they'd say he was a failure. Noah wasn't a failure. He saved 8 people. He saved 8 people. He affected eternity. Unfaithfulness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. Did you know unfaithfulness is sin? If you do something without God's word, if you do it without faith, it is sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. That is, if you can't do it in good faith according to the word of God, then it constitutes sin. Now, there are some things that are specifically spelled out that you cannot do and do it in faith. You cannot lie in good faith. You cannot commit adultery in good faith. You cannot steal in good faith. And there are some things throughout Scripture that are very strongly implied. You cannot drink alcoholic beverages in good faith. We know you cannot be a homosexual in good faith. There are some clothes that men and women should not wear in good faith. But if we want to know, we can turn to the Word. And we know the principles. We're not to try to cause people to have inordinate thoughts or sinful thoughts. Now, some people are so depraved, it doesn't matter what another person wears, they're going to have impure thoughts. You can't do anything about that person. They are overcome and overwrought with sin. But you can dress so as to conjure or to invite impure thoughts. We can act in ways that are sensual acting and invite impure thoughts. But anything that we are doing that is not provoked by good faith is sin. And if we are committing sin, how can we expect to be spiritually blessed? You say, well, what about all those false preachers on television, those millionaire preachers who are living in mansions? Well, we're talking about spiritual blessings. Okay? Yeah, they're fleecing the sheep for sure. But we're talking about spiritual blessings. It doesn't mean that if we occasionally sin, we cannot expect to be blessed. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God from time to time. We're all going to do things that we know are wrong, but we're going to choose to do them. That's going to happen. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. So when we do err and fall short, that we can go to our Lord in prayer and He'll forgive us. That's another spiritual blessing we have. But if we persist in things, if we persist to do those things that are done by something other than faith, then we have no reason to expect spiritual blessings in this life or the next. Unfaithfulness robs the Christian of the crown of life. Paul said he was longing for that crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, would give him in the last day. because he was walking in the faith. He was living in the Spirit. And he knew that crown of life could be his. But if we're not walking in the faith, if we're not living by the Spirit, then we cannot be guaranteed of that crown of life. And that's why these things that I've mentioned this evening are so vitally important. Unfaithfulness does not please God. It is a blockade to spiritual blessings. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there are more specific things we could mention tonight, but I think these five that we've talked about, I've just kind of boiled them all down and come up with these five. But I think I'm within the bounds of truth if I say that if we pay attention to these five things this evening, these five things that I've mentioned, if we pay attention to these, then this will cover just about everything else. These blockades, if we found them in our life, we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of them. We need to tear them down. There are numerous blockades that stand between ourselves and the blessings that God wants to have. And if you and I desire the blessing of life eternal and heaven everlasting, we need to be sure that we throw these barriers down and that we walk in the light as he is in the light, so that we can have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us or continues to cleanse us from our sins, 1 John 1:7. I hope this has been beneficial to you. I hope you've learned something. I hope this has prompted your thinking in areas that maybe you've neglected for a little bit. And that's why we have these kind of lessons, to provoke thought and to bring to our memory maybe some things that we've forgotten about or some things that we have been neglectful of. I don't say that this congregation or anyone here specifically has these problems. I'm saying these are common problems. The Bible gives warnings against these things, so it must have been a problem for our brothers back in the first century. And human nature being what it is, people are still forgetful here some 2,000 years later. So let me ask you tonight, are you a Christian? And if your answer is no, then you need to be baptized, you need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, according to the commands of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If it's your desire to put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not sure you're ready, you take a seat on the front row anyway. We'll talk about it, we'll study if we need to, and maybe it won't happen tonight. Maybe you decide you're not ready, but we'll study. And if you are a Christian, and maybe you've discovered that some of these blockades have been standing in between you and spiritual blessings. Maybe they're standing between you and heaven this very moment. You need to get rid of those things by repenting and by claiming again your first love in our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your need might be, we want to help you. Take a seat on the front row, if you would, please, right now as we stand and sing.